From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Hello everyone, it's nice to have your company once more around the Word of God. Today we return to that scene in the temple where the Savior is teaching in the midst of sneering enemies determined to kill him. Our study is entitled, An Empty Claim and an Anguished Cry. It centers upon John chapter 7, the verses 25 to 36. Let me quickly mention our program tonight at 9 o'clock. We will be playing the first extract from a new sermon tape, which we will be featuring over the next few weeks. It's entitled, The Passion of Christ as Depicted by Holy Writ or Debased by Hollywood. Now remember, the full sermon tape is free to anyone who requests a copy. Please join me tonight then at 9. Our hymn this morning is by the great hymn writer Isaac Watts. It's entitled, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. After I play it, we will be turning to John chapter 7, verses 25 to 36. Our study today is entitled, An Empty Claim and an Anguished Cry. John 7, verses 25 to 36 is the portion that we will be studying. The people whose words are recorded in verse 25 are a different group from those referred to in verse 20. Please remember that in Jerusalem, on an occasion like this feast at which the Saviour is here present, there would have been gathered many thousands of Jews from all the surrounding countries. To many of them, the Lord Jesus would have been totally unknown. It was such strangers whose words are recorded in verse 20. Whereas in verse 25, it was local Jews who were speaking. They were well aware of the desire of their leaders to kill the Saviour. Now in this passage, I would like you first of all to note that the words of our Saviour were impressive, even to his enemies. The word boldly means confidently, openly, plainly. There was no hesitation or hedging of his words by the Saviour as he spoke. Because he was speaking in such an open fashion, the people asked if the leaders, who had before shown a readiness to kill him, had changed their mind and now considered him the Messiah indeed. Verse 26. Let preachers learn that we must not diminish our preaching because of the opposition of men. We must not water down the truth of God because it may offend some. We must be faithful to God and to his truth, irrespective of the annoyance it may cause. God's word has power to impress even those who do not wish to be impressed, those who are determined to reject the gospel. Let every evangelist, and indeed every Christian who is seeking to win a soul to the Saviour, remember the example here. Whatever our circumstances, whatever the opposition we may face, do not be ashamed of the gospel, but lovingly, gently, and always plainly speak forth the truth of God, and it will do its work upon the hearts and minds of those for whom we are praying. Again, note the blindness of men regarding Christ. We come on this truth again and again in the gospel. It is the worst form of spiritual blindness. Verse 27 reads, "Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is." In both these assertions, the people were wrong. They were confident that they knew Jesus. They considered him as one born in Nazareth, and therefore a Galilean. But the Saviour was born in Bethlehem, and was of the tribe of Judah, and of the royal family of David. How many presume to think that they know the Saviour, when in truth they know nothing about him, and what they claim as knowledge is false? It was a myth for them to say, "When Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is." Verse 27. The prophets of old, under the inspiration and direction of the Holy Ghost, had given the Jewish people many details about the promised Messiah. One thing in particular they had said was where he would be born. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. "Yet here are those who profess to be devout Jews, claiming that no one could know where the Messiah would come from." This is but one example of the blindness of men about the gospel, which they consider knowledge. It was prevalent in our Saviour's day, and it's still to be found today amongst those who consider themselves Christians. The truth is here for men to see, but they deliberately shut their eyes and will not see. The record of our Saviour's birth was there for the Jews to investigate. If there was one thing that the Jewish people were most assiduous about, it was genealogy. They kept the most careful family records, the birthplace, the tribe, the family, to which Jesus belonged would have been a matter of public record in the Savior's day. That record has been carried over into the Bible. None have any excuse regarding the identity of the Savior. As John later wrote in this very Gospel, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." John chapter 20, verse 31. None have any excuse for ignorance concerning Christ. Again, consider the Savior's cry in the temple. "Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me." Verses 28 and 29. The word translated cry suggests a broken-hearted and a distressed cry. The Lord Jesus was distressed at the ignorance and the blindness of those around him. The Savior is vexed and grieved at the stubborn folly of the people. The Savior appears to be saying to the people, "Yes, you know something of my family and my background, but of my divinity and my unity with the Father, you know nothing." To be able to recite a few facts about the history of the Savior is not to be considered as knowing him. I refer to that statement by Peter that I have often quoted as an example of just what it is to know Christ. "Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Matthew 16, verse 16. That is the knowledge the thief on the cross beside the Savior at Calvary was given. He saw the bleeding, battered figure beside him was none other than the Lord of glory. Not until you have bowed before Christ and owned him as Lord and Savior can you claim to know him. Note finally that God restrains his enemies. Men can only do that which God sovereignly permits them to do. "No man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come." Verse 30. How marvelous this is. None can lift a finger against Christ or his people unless they are granted leave to do so. These words serve also to remind us that the Savior went voluntarily to the cross. Remember, as Peter said on the day of Pentecost, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Acts chapter 2, verse 23. Fear not, child of God. God is on the throne of heaven and of earth. He rules and reigns in the kingdoms of men. Will you join me tonight at 9 o'clock? God bless you, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.